Today's gospel is one of the most rich and powerful in all scripture. One of the most striking parts is Jesus' command to the rich young man, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Many people tend to focus on this when they read this passage, and understandably so, especially as it begins a rather lengthy discussion about the difficulty of having riches and going to heaven. But before Jesus goes there, he first answers the man's question, which is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He answers with a very simple answer. You know the commandments. And then he proceeds to list some of the Ten Commandments. In other words, to go to heaven, first of all, you have to begin by keeping the commandments. It's only when the man says, I've always kept these commandments, that Jesus says, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Nowadays, people kind of turn this saying no on its head. They think, well, if I do good things for the poor and the needy, then those pesky commandments really aren't that important. You know, they say things like, would Jesus really care if someone had premarital or extramarital sex or homosexual sex? Would he really care about that? If I'm feeding the poor and taking care of the homeless, even though Jesus clearly said, if you want eternal life, you should not commit adultery. Some people want to think that you can be greedy and dishonest and deceptive in business as long as you give some of your profits to good causes. Even though Jesus says, if you want eternal life, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Some people think you can even kill little babies in their mother's wombs, even though the first commandment that Jesus cites in today's gospel is, you shall not kill. This kind of attitude that acts of kindness to the needy sort of override or make up for the commandments reminds me of the medieval abuses involved in the illicit selling of indulgences. You remember that, where they, you know, in indulgences where you do a particular act and from the graces of the church, your time in purgatory, so to speak, is relieved. Right? Now, encouraging people to do charitable acts, including giving money to the poor, or even to build a church building, is in itself a good thing. So the church used to grant indulgences to encourage these things. But in the Middle Ages, too often individual priests and bishops would use this practice to build a church or whatever. But it really became a way for people to buy their way into heaven. So no matter how many terrible sins you committed, a prince could kill all sorts of people and then he could build a church and he thought he was going to heaven. Now the church always condemned this practice, even though individual priests and cardinals and bishops did it. Wouldn't be the first time when the church condemned something that they did, that priests and bishops did. But this kind of false notion of what charity is the same kind of thing. You know, if I give money to good causes, then I'm going to go to heaven no matter how bad I am with the commandments. It also ignores another fact. We need to remember that before Jesus tells the rich young man, give to the poor, he first tells him, sell what you have. Or as the exact translation would say, sell everything you have. This is very different than someone who writes a check to a charity at the end of the month when all their bills are paid, or someone who considers paying his taxes as, you know, a gift to charity. Much less politicians who think giving other people's tax money to the needy is his form of charity. Jesus says, sell everything. Not what you have left over at the end of the month, whatever. Sell everything. Now that's troubling. Does Jesus mean that we all have to sell everything we have and give it to the poor? It's interesting, in his response to the rich young man, Jesus doesn't list all the commandments, but only the ones that apply specifically to loving your neighbor. Did you notice that? Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. Steal. Bear false witness. He leaves out the first three commandments that refer specifically to loving God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember, keep holy the Lord's day. He doesn't mention those. And you have to wonder, is this a mistake, an oversight? Or is Jesus saying, loving your neighbor is good enough so that you don't have to obey the first three commandments? You don't have to love God, just your neighbor. Clearly not. What is Jesus doing? Look at what happens. When the rich young man first approaches Jesus, he asks him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." It almost seems to be a non sequitur or even rude, but Jesus is simply trying to make a point. The rich young man sees Jesus as a good teacher. And as Matthew's account of this indicates, he says, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" He sees Jesus as a good man who can teach him what good deeds he as a man can do for other men. But Jesus says, it's not enough to do good things for your neighbor. You have to begin by doing good things for the only one who is truly good. So Jesus, who is God the Son, looks at the young man and says, Scripture says that he loved him and said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me." Notice Jesus says you lack one thing, but then he lists three things, right? Sell, give, and follow. So what is the one thing the man lacks? It's the one at the end. Follow me. But one thing that also stands in the way, he's too attached to all the things he has. Jesus looks at him as an individual and recognizing that while he's kept the commandments regarding loving his neighbor, he's broken the first three commandments regarding loving God, especially the first one that sums up all the rest. "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." The rich young man has made things and money more important than God. Until he gets rid of those things and loves God first above everything else, he cannot have eternal life. So you see, contrary to what too many people think, the point of this text today is not so much to give to the poor, as good as that is. The point of the text is to get rid of anything and everything that comes between us and truly loving God above all things. Truly above all things, and following Jesus, who is God the Son incarnate. That's why you'll notice that Jesus doesn't mention the poor again in the text. Once he says, "Sell everything and you have and give it to the poor," he doesn't talk about the poor again. He goes on to explain how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom. And again, finally, third time, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up everything for my sake who will not receive eternal life." But not another word about the poor. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus loved the poor, and we're supposed to love the poor also and to help them. But that's not the point of this story. Or rather, it's a secondary or tertiary point. The main point of the story is, first, keep the commandments. If you don't get the basics down, what good is all the rest? This is true even if you do good works. I mean, I suppose it's nice to save the whales, but what good is that if you're letting children starve down the block? And it's good to provide food for starving children, but what good is that if you don't protect their right to life? You shall not kill. First, keep the commandments. And in keeping the commandments, remember, first keep the most important ones. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to have no other God before Him. giving up everything that comes between you and God. For some of this literally means giving up everything we have to become a religious sister or a friar or a monk, or to some extent, a priest, a diocesan priest. For others, it means not being overwhelmed by economic worries, especially when God has blessed you with some savings in the bank. You know, you have a good job, you have a nice house, you have money in the bank, and you're always worried, am I going to have enough in retirement? Plan for retirement, but don't let that consume you so that you don't have any time to pray. For others, it means not being distracted by working or buying or playing, so much so that you don't have time to go to church or to pray some other time during the week as well. When soccer becomes more important on a Sunday morning so that you can't go to Mass, you have a big problem. And it's not just limited to money. How many of our personal habits, or maybe even our entire lifestyle, are offensive to God, but we cling to them anyway because they are more important to us than God? You say, but Father, I don't know if I can do that. Maybe you've tried from time to time. You've made a resolution to love and to follow Jesus and to keep His commandments. But then you fall and you get all caught up in all sorts of stuff, whether it be sins or just too many possessions. Sometimes it seems impossible. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? We read it today in today's gospel. It says, they were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, then who can be saved? Jesus has that covered too. For man it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. As we now prepare to enter more deeply into the mysteries of this Holy Mass, look deep into your heart and ask yourself, do I keep the commandments? Do I put money or things or habits or even people in front of loving and serving God and following Jesus? Or do I make excuses or think I can just buy my way into heaven by writing checks or doing something nice for somebody? And as you do that, do not be discouraged by the times you failed. And do not give up, because God has not given up on you, and He can do anything. And as you come down to this altar in the Eucharist, as He comes down in this altar in the Eucharist, and He comes to you in Holy Communion, know that He has come to you to give you His own power, His grace, to make what otherwise is impossible for you on your own, to make it imminently possible with Him. Praise be Jesus Christ.